Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
You're listening to Vectis Radio FM 104.6 online and on the app. Welcome to the For Women by Women show, sponsored by the Tampon Tax, administered by the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Community Foundation. I'm Maggie, and I should be introducing you to women who are experts in their fields, with the aim of informing you what to look for, what is out there, how to get help, etc., on various topics. So today in the studio is Lucy Trill from HD Hair Design, and she'll be talking about hair. Hello, Lucy.
Hello, Maggie.
Thank you very much for coming in. The first thing I'd like to find out about people is their experience and expertise. So can you tell the world all about your experience and expertise?
Okay. I've been a hairdresser for 25 years. Also was an educator for the Isle of Wight College, so teaching 16 to 18-year-olds and 18-pluses, ready for industry. And also taught on the mainland for companies such as Allen Howard and Fudge.
Who?
Fudge, it's a product brand.
Did you say Allen?
Allen Howard.
Oh, right.
Well, it's Allen Howard, sexy and fudge.
Okay. And what did that involve?
So it was going into salons and actually teaching people how to use the products correctly, deal with any problems. I was on a sort of the call list if they had any issues whilst using the products, so there for guidance really and support.
So did you have to go and be trained yourself?
Yes, yeah, so went up, the company's based in Manchester, so I had to go up for training on a regular basis, so once every 4 weeks to 6 weeks, and kept updated, and obviously have to keep my sort of educational side as well as my practical skills up to date. That's the one.
Yeah. So where did you train to become a hairdresser yourself?
At the Isle of Wight College.
You didn't teach yourself?
No.
So who did you learn from?
A range of tutors. I was very lucky. I had some really strong tutors at the college, so people like Sean Kirk was one of my favourite, and Sue Brent. So very informative, very skilled hairdressers in themselves.
So have you gone in for any of those competitions and things they did at the college?
Yeah, I mean, when I was teaching there, I actually used to do the Level 3 programme. So we actually used to set up and obviously get students ready for the Level 3 shows. Something that I used to do because I do stage stuff. I have done stage stuff in the past myself. Last year actually went up and did a big competition up in London where I was on the stage with Elle Douglas and a few other key stylists. So it's something I enjoy doing, so it's something I like promoting to students.
I presume that's an awful lot of work.
Very much so. Very tiring, very pressured.
So is it just hair or is it the entire outfit as well?
The one that I did in London was Total Look. When we used to do with students, we used to do Total Look as well, so makeup, outfit and hair. So they actually had to come up with a whole image, and it was something they'd do. And like myself, you plan it for months in advance, getting everything ready and practising and doing the key elements to it.
And did anybody win?
What, for the college? Or
did you win or any of your students win?
Yeah, I had quite a few students in the years that I did. I'm trying to think how many years I did the Level 3 show for. So I worked at the college for 7 years. Probably the last 4 years I was involved in it quite strongly. And yeah, there are Level 3 students, because I used to teach across the, so whether it was apprentice, full-time or part-time students. So yeah, we did have some quite good winners, and proudly I managed to teach them.
Good for you.
At some point.
And were the looks outrageous, or were they all smooth and like you would see with Mary Quant some years ago?
You know me, if I'm involved in it, it's going to be outrageous.
Silly question, really. So there are lots of colours involved?
Yeah, I mean, students actually got to decide what they wanted to do. So obviously, if in the total look, if they were looking to carry off some sort of theme, then they would incorporate colour. Some would just do hair up, but it was, they had particular elements that they had to meet. So it would be using hair extensions, a certain percentage of colour usage within the look and things like that. So,
interesting. Did you get to judge any of them yourself for other people?
Not on those, because obviously where I was involved in the organising.
Obviously, you're very, very experienced. Mm-hmm. And I know this myself because you've been doing my hair for some years. If you have ladies coming to you who are pregnant, mm-hmm. is their hair different when they're pregnant, or does it depend on the person? I mean, does their hair not take some products or whilst they're pregnant?
Pregnancy, it's a little bit, it's varied on the person. Some people find that their hair gets very, what's the right word? They sort of bloom and their hair sort of comes into its own. That adds, they tend to get shinier, thicker, sort of more abundant hair. Other people's tend to find that their hair might thin down a little bit. They might feel it's a little bit sort of greasy or a bit lank. You can often have issues, obviously, with colouring. There's a bit of a thing where, you know, we try and avoid colouring through pregnancy, particularly sort of early and late trimester, middles. We try and avoid scalp applications.
Yeah.
Obviously, because the body's going through so many hormone changes, obviously that can then affect how colours take or how the hair is reacting to various things. So we always try and play it on the cautious side rather than sort of going into too much sort of on the chemical side. Or
that's interesting, isn't it? Obviously it's going to vary with different people. Does it vary with the age of a person who might be pregnant? Because they often, I remember my daughter when she was pregnant, she was in her 30s and she was told she was a geriatric pregnancy. Mm-hmm. In her 30s.
Okay.
So does the hair differ with age when you're pregnant?
I mean, in general, hair does differ with age. So obviously pregnancy is another element that can put another strain on hair growth or just how our body functions. In general, it just depends on how well you are as a person. Obviously, if the pregnancy is quite a hard pregnancy and there's a lot of sickness, then we would expect the hair to take a little bit of a knock on from that. Hair's a really good indicator on how your system's working. So if your system's working well, your hair is full of life. If your system's not working that well or it's under a lot of strain, then it's going to not look its best.
Interesting. As you were saying, with bodies and pregnancy, mm-hmm. there's obviously other conditions that women have, like illnesses.
Yeah.
Would various illnesses affect hair in different ways? I mean, obviously, if people have a very, very serious condition, such as cancer, mm-hmm. they're likely to have hair falling out because of chemotherapy or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So can you tell whether people are healthy or not healthy just from their hair?
Yeah. I mean, I always say hair's like a plant. And if you think about your head as being the garden, so everything that's happening underneath the soil, so underneath your scalp, has a detrimental effect or a good effect on the hair. So it's quite plain to see. I can often tell with my clients that I've known long periods of time, I can tell whether they're slightly under the weather, if they're, you know, they might be going through some issues or some underlying problem. Recently I had a young girl come to me. I've done her hair for a long time and she just wasn't right in herself. And I could tell by her hair, so I recommended that she went to see a doctor, and she actually came back with a B12 and iron deficiency. And that was just from me sitting with her and talking through sort of some of the stuff that was and how her hair was presenting at the time. If everything's going good underneath, so underneath your scalp and your soil, the hair's being fed. So hair is a plant. It needs water. It needs sun. It needs food. And if it's not getting any of those, we've had a real influx recently of people doing these crash diets.
Oh, yeah.
And fad diets. And that really impacts on the hair. I've noticed people, when they're dropping an awful lot of weight too quickly, their hair thins down massively and it just changes texture. A lot more brittle and just fragile.
Ooh.
So we've noticed that a lot. So I think you get, having done hairdressing for so long, you get to know how the hair should feel and you get a bit of a rapport with clients and you get to know their hair. And I think it's really important as a client-stylist relationship to have that sort of trust in your stylist, but also that the stylist is quite open and able to be able to ask questions. If they feel there's something wrong, we've done a lot of study in knowing how the hair should be and what scalp should look like. So if we spot, we're sort of a first sort of port of call. If we spot something like that, it's our duty as a hairdresser to let people know if there is something that they might want to just keep an eye on, without scaring them, obviously.
Obviously, yeah, but that's really interesting, because obviously when people go to see the optician can say there's something wrong with your eyes, blah, 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 go and see the doctor, whatever. And it's interesting that the hairdresser can do exactly the same, not in your eyes, obviously, but can tell if you're not really, or if there's something may be wrong.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we get clients come into us all the time, and it may be that they come in and say, you know, my hair's thinning at the front. You know, myself, it's my responsibility to sort of try and establish what that is from a hairdresser's point of view, because obviously we don't want to add chemicals that could increase anything or do anything that's going to put any pressure on the hair. So at that point, when someone says that to me, I want to break down the reasons as why they're experiencing it and try and get to the source of it.
But fad diets that people losing weight too quickly is not good, A, for the body, and B, for the hair.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you need a good level of protein and carbohydrates and everything to make your body function properly and to feed the hair. If you're not getting that, then it will have a knock-on effect because you're not feeding your plant.
What about topical feeding, like conditioner? Would that help, or does that just exacerbate the hair?
I mean, hair treatments or conditioners are always advised. We would always, if you're shampooing, you should always condition, because it rebalances the pH level of the hair. And it's really important that you don't just shampoo, that you do condition. But it's about conditioning what needs to be conditioned and not over-conditioning. Sometimes going in with too many conditioning treatments or too heavy conditioning treatments, or as I found out recently, conditioning treatments that are available on the market, they shouldn't be used without training. It's really important not to over-condition, because that can cause brittleness, can make the hair more fragile. So it's taking guidance and actually getting the right products for your hair. So in any situation with concerns, if there is any concerns with the hair, you wouldn't want something that's too heavy and too overpowering, because then you're going to be in a much worse situation. But also in the same respect, you want something that's going to be enough, that it's going to protect, feed and sort of nurture the hair.
Okay, so most conditioners that I've come across, whether they're yours or shop bought, they're usually quite creamy. So how would you know that a particular conditioner, when it's nice and creamy, is going to make your hair brittle?
It's a hard one, because I mean, in my advice and what I say to my clients is, you're always best buying professional. Professional are their products are more restricted and they're governed as to what can go in them. Also, there's a big drive through salons and professional companies at the moment that people are looking down the more natural route, using natural organic products. We're going sulfur-free, salt-free, paraben-free. We're even going gluten-free in products.
Did you say paraben?
Paraben-free, yeah.
What's a paraben?
So paraben is like a preservative.
Oh, right.
Okay, so it's something that sort of like preserves the product, but in being parabens, a lot of time when you've got a product that's got parabens, it might have silicons or not naturally derived silicons. There's a difference between naturally derived and artificial.
Okay.
So, and the artificial are very bad for the hair, and the natural are
obviously
much
good.
Better.
That's intriguing as well. I never knew all this stuff. See, we need to know this. And shampoos, is there something with shampoos that we should look out for? I mean, we've had all these Head and Shoulders type. Other shampoos are available. Are they good for you or not so good?
Not so good. I mean, most clients will find there are... I mean, I know, for example, from ours, we we've actually just changed our range, so we've gone for a smaller branding, which makes it simpler for clients to understand when they're picking products themselves. In most times, in pretty much 90% of cases, people are looking for hydration. So shampoos that are hydrations, we don't rate two-in-ones. Two-in-ones, you can't shampoo and conditioner at the same time. Mm. It defeats the object.
Right.
You need shampoo to cleanse the hair and conditioner to smooth the hair. So right. If you're conditioning and... But I think they're sort of... People are getting to the gist that that's not that great for your hair. Just being aware of the products that you're using is key. And take advice from hairdressers. You know, we've done the training. Hairdressers tend to use professional products for a reason. There's a lot of brands on the market. There are, you know, brands that are suited to all budgets as well. But doesn't necessarily mean because it's cheap it's good. Or just because it's expensive it's good. It's about knowing what your hair needs, and that's what I think is important as a hairdresser's point of view, is to guide people, you know, and know about... I mean, I do a lot of research on stuff that's available in the shops as well as what's available professionally, and that's where I try and guide my clients to the best for their hair.
Magic. I like that. When is it advisable to have your hair coloured, and when is it not advisable to have your hair coloured? I mean, some people who have quite brittle hair, should they be coloured?
I think with colouring, colouring's a massive area of... There's lots of do's and don'ts.
So it's not quite such a simple question then?
It's not a simple question, no. I mean, the first point in any pot of colouring is always make sure that you've had up-to-date skin tests. And that if there is any cause for concern, actually have test pieces done. As well, it's really vital that everyone is quite open about what they've previously put on their hair, because that obviously makes our job harder when it comes to colouring. And it doesn't always happen. We do get fed a line sometimes if people want something done, but then when it doesn't achieve that, you know, it can be quite devastating. So yeah. It's really important that you are clear about what you've previously used on your hair. Obviously, in the same with the shampoos, if you've done something previously to your hair, it could have a knock-on effect to a colour taking. If the condition of the hair is compromised, then it's not advisable to do all forms of colouring. Obviously, there are lots of different forms of colouring that you can do. So there are often options, no matter what your hair type, but obviously if the condition is severely compromised, it isn't something that we would actually recommend. And just being very careful, make sure you're being guided properly, and that the products that are being used are suited to your hair, and that you're getting the right sort of options given.
And take the advice that you're given.
100%. Yeah. 100%. You do get a lot of times where people would like miracles to be performed. If a hairdresser is saying that that's probably not going to work, it's normally not going to work.
Yeah.
I colour by my gut, so if I don't think anything's going to work, I would always test it.
Yeah.
If in doubt, test it. That's my golden rule.
Yeah.
Making sure that when you're having your hair coloured, that your scalp condition is always good. So if your scalp condition is not good, the colour straight away is going to be challenging, and could open up a lot of other issues. I do quite a thorough consultation with clients, and I think that's really important, something I used to teach students. They used to ask me why I used to ask clients so many questions. But you need to know, for colouring, you need to know stuff like, are you pregnant? Are you on any medication? Do you have any health issues, or have you had any issues that have caused a problem within colouring before? It can be down to has your hair had any resistance issues, things like that. And there's like the list gets longer and longer. Obviously, if they've got a percentage of white, it's going to be more resistant to certain colours taken. If they've previously used some colours, we need to know that as well. That can have a massive impact. What colour they previously had on their hair anyway is going to impact.
And is there stuff on their hair already?
Yeah. So, and it can be a colour that we've done. If they want to change colour, you know, is the condition going to take it from what colour's already on the hair?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, in my mind, any form of colour is you've got to look at it as a colour correction. You've got to look at every angle and actually sort of pick down to the bare bones of it before you actually colour and give the clients advice on what's achievable and what's not achievable.
That's very responsible, though, isn't it, for hairdressers to do? I imagine not all are the same, but we won't go there.
I think it's our responsibility to be responsible. We're dealing with chemicals that are, you know, quite strong chemicals. You can give burns with them. You can cause irreparable damage if you're not using them correctly. So it's really important that
you...
We don't. Definitely not.
We can take a short break. We're back in a moment.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Your station, your community.
So welcome back to the For Women by Women show on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. In the studio today is Lucy Trill from Therapy HD. And we're talking about hair. There's a surprise. Is there such a thing as female baldness pattern?
You can have baldness or pattern baldness, whether male or female. They're hereditary baldness. It's more commonly seen in men than women, but it's not seen, if that makes any sense.
It's not uncommon.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. And are there any occasions where women's hair fall out in patches? Is that a condition, a health condition, or is it just something that happens?
You can have all sorts of reasons why women's hair can fall out. So it can be down to something hereditary. It can be down to illness. It can be down to hormones, to age, to vitamin deficiencies. It can be down to childbirth and stress.
And chemo.
So anything. There's so many elements.
Right.
Like I say, it all comes down to, I mean, you can, if you have a trauma as such on the head, you can experience hair loss in that area. So hair is a living organism. In the case of trauma and stuff, the hair would detach from the bulb or the dermal papilla. So it all just depends on what it is. There's so many different reasons. If you're experiencing hypothyroidism, that can cause hair issues or hair loss. You can have it through incorrect products. You can have it through chemical burns. You can have it through damage through chemical treatments. There's an awful lot of reasons.
A million things. So if someone suddenly experiences their hair falling out and they can't think of any good reason, should they come and see a hairdresser? Should they go to a doctor? Or should they just think, I'm the only one?
I mean, what I would do is don't panic, okay? Because actually when you panic and you stress, it actually increases
any
symptom. So, and it will make it worse. If you've got a good relationship with your hairdresser and you are a regular client, well, even if you're not, go and talk to your hairdresser, because there's an awful lot that they can actually sort of rule out before going any further. If you are experiencing extreme hair loss or patches or anything like that, go to a doctor or a dermatologist. Dermatologists particularly will try and find the root of the problem. And like I say, a hairdresser can give you guidance, but obviously can't do the formal bit.
No.
But we can definitely sort of make suggestions on how to avoid further damage and sort of prevention.
Okay. So if we've got somebody who has permanent bald patches because they've had the hair pulled out or whatever, what can they do, or what can a hairdresser do to try and eliminate the obvious baldy bits?
Well, obviously we can, for one, like, people become quite sensitive and it can have a real knock-on effect on confidence.
Yes.
So we can always advise and try and maybe restyle the hair in a way that's going to be more discreet, all depending on where it is. Make suggestions like not sort of tying it back tightly and putting that extra pressure on, reducing how much time you heat style, looking after the scalp, regular scalp massages and stuff like that actually help stimulate the blood flow to the hair, and hopefully that will encourage regrowth.
Right.
And
so it's not entirely hopeless then?
No, not at all. Not at all. There's so many reasons why, and 9 times out of 10, there is a cause. So as long as the actual nerve endings from the hair haven't been permanently damaged, there is no reason why that hair couldn't.
What if they have been permanently damaged? Through the force of someone pulling someone's hair out?
Yeah. I mean, in my experience, I've had mothers bring their daughters in when they've been in a scrap at school and they've had clumps pulled out their hair and stuff like that. After a period of time, it does tend to grow back, but obviously there are that small percentage that it doesn't. And it's just there are options. Like I say, dermatologists would look further into, you know, if there isn't, it's about adjusting, like I say, the hair shape, form, what you do with your hair to try and minimise. Yeah. You know, there are some really, really obviously extreme cases. If you experience total baldness, there is some really good wig designers and things like that. In my experience at the moment, youngsters quite like buying wigs.
Yeah.
Just so they can have a different hairstyle every day of the week.
Yeah. Because alopecia is where the hair just falls out completely.
Well, there's lots of different types of alopecia.
There are
lots of different types of alopecia.
It shows what I know.
You have alopecia areata, alopecia totalis, just to name two. Okay. But there's about 9 different types of alopecia, really? If not more. Oh. So all just depends on what type of alopecia it is. Sometimes alopecia can be caused by a skin condition like psoriasis or dermatitis, where the skin forms quite a hard layer over the hair can't actually come up out through the follicle.
So if the psoriasis is healed, would the hair then start to grow?
As long as there's no like permanent damage under the beneath the surface of the scalp, and that the hair is getting back into that growth cycle. It has a very clear growth cycle hair has to go through. So on average you lose 90 hairs a day. So
I can't afford to lose 90 hairs a day.
But your hair is regenerating all the time. All right. So it has, for every hair it loses, it has a new hair growing. That's why a lot of people will say that certain areas of the hair grow quicker than others.
Right.
Your hair is growing independently. Each hair on your head grows independently. It doesn't grow in a system or in one sort of unit.
It hasn't all had the memo then?
No. So you're losing not up to 90 hairs a day, obviously. I mean, we get quite a lot of people come in that will go, oh, I'm seeing a lot in my brush, but I've not got any patches. You can have a lot in your brush. It depends on your length of your hair. As to 90 hairs can look extremely scary on long hair. Yeah, on short hair, like my hair, I comb it, I don't see it. But everyone on average is losing 90 hairs, and that's an average. So some people might lose more.
Yeah.
We often get a panic when people sort of have had a baby. About 6 months later, they go through a thing called postpartum fall, and that's where they actually do have quite a big shed of hair. So you end up, my sister-in-law herself actually phoned me up one day panicking. I'm losing my hair, that's it. I'm going to have it all cut off. And I was just like, how much are you losing? And sort of like she showed me a hairbrush and I was like, no, that's completely normal. I had a client this week actually bought her hair that she'd lost over the last 6 months in a bag and said, is this normal? And I looked at her hair and I looked at her length and I said, to be perfectly honest, yeah. You've not got... And I looked through her hair. I think it's obviously... I looked through her scalp to make sure her scalp, there was no areas of baldness, no areas of thinning. I've known her for about 10 years. And her hair hasn't changed in thickness.
No.
And I was like, yeah, that's probably it's just naturally what's fallen.
It's just scary,
as your hair's gotten longer, you've noticed it.
Yeah.
So, but it can be quite scary.
Yeah, I imagine it could. So, you know, people have hair extensions.
Yeah.
And there are various types, I understand. I've never had an extension in my entire life. So. But how do they fix?
Okay, it all depends on the different types of extensions.
Well, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So there is more than one type of extension. I mean, currently I do 4 different types of extensions.
Okay.
So I refuse to fit glue-in extensions or anything that's taped or glued. There is a glue technique. It's been used for years, and some people find it fine. I tend to not like the risk of damage to the hair.
Okay.
So I think as I've developed in my experiences of extensions and how I've developed professionally, I've sort of worked with techniques that I can trust for my client.
Okay.
So I do a lot of weave-ins, but I adapt my weave-in technique to European hair or Afro-Caribbean hair.
Okay.
Or, so there are different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
As long as they're being fitted correctly and they're taking into account the type of hair.
Yeah.
So a lot of people get on very successfully with them. You know, you've got micro rings, micro loops, nanos, eye tips. Yeah, the list goes on and on. Tape. So, yeah.
Okay. So we have these things in our hair.
Yeah.
How do they stay there, and how do you brush it, and how do you wash it?
With extensions, you're looking to, it will increase your maintenance of your hair, so it will take longer to wash and dry and comb and everything your hair. It's really important with all types of extensions that you still cleanse and soothe the scalp. It's not always that easy. Certain methods means it's quite restrictive to getting to certain areas of the scalp, but that's really important. But most of the time, as long as you're guided by your hairdresser, you're using the right products. If you're using anything like glue-ins or micro rings that might have a keratin bond in them or anything like that, then you'd have to use products that haven't got sulfur in them, because sulfur or salt, because they'll break down that keratin bond or break down the glue or the tape.
Okay.
Whereas with like weave-ins, nanos, and extensions like that, they are pretty hardy. You don't tend to find they break down because they're based on the hair being attached by a plait and not by an artificial bead. Or
okay. So you've got to be careful not to catch your comb or your brush in them, I take it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're doing weavings and stuff, yeah, you've any extension, you just have to be aware of where the extension's fitted and try and avoid catching that area.
Yeah.
Also, be responsible yourself, but also realistic. We do have clients that will come in that their hair might be of a really poor condition. That's why they've had their hair cut, and then they've wanted extensions put on. Extensions need quite strong hair to support them. They're added weight to the hair, so it's making sure that you don't put too much strain on the hair. So it's having an extension fitter, a stylist that will treat your extensions based on your hair type.
Yeah.
I've had people come in and gone, I want 300 grams of hair put in my hair. I want, you know, 24 inches, 300 grams. And I'm like, your hair won't support that. So it's about being realistic as to what you can do for your scalp, because what you don't want to do is end up putting too much tension on the scalp, causing breakage or causing traction alopecia.
We don't want that, do we? So you have extensions and then you end up being bald?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. That's if they're like incorrectly fitted or they're not suited to your hair type or you're not looking after them properly.
There's an awful lot to this hair lark, isn't
there?
I never realised it was so involved.
That's why my head hurts on a daily basis.
If you've got somebody who needs or wants to wear a wig, for whatever reason, or a partial wig, can you help them with the care of such a thing, or help them choose which wig, or advise them?
I would always be happy to advise a client, you know, what's going to suit their face shape and their sort of style, or even down to colours of what wigs they want to go for. But to be perfectly honest, a lot of the places that actually make the wigs direct for people like with that have lost their hair through chemotherapy and stuff like that, they are so sympathetic and so caring about what they do that they're and quite knowledgeable, that they are very good at doing that. A hairdresser will always, I mean, we have options. I always have blockheads in the salon that we can actually put a wig on, and if we needed to, shape it or wash and blow dry it. So there's always that option for it to have maintenance and care.
That's good. And do you get people coming in to donate their hair for wigs? And if you do, how long does their hair have to be?
We do. We've had quite a lot of youngsters, which is really refreshing to see. Even kids as young as like sort of six coming in and having their hair cut off. I think the last time that I checked on the website, depending on where they're donating to, it's normally it has to be a minimum of eight. It's either 8 or 9 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's a specific way that it has to be done. So it normally has to be banded and plaited. No evidence of damage or colouring or split ends. That 8 inches, as long as it's above that 8 inches, then it's all good to go. We had quite a lot last year and it was lovely to see.
I bet. And then they just go off and get made into wigs.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of the time we do it, they've come in, we'll take a photo of them before, band their hair up, plait it, cut it off, restyle their hair, and then they go off and they put their tail in an envelope and send it straight off.
That's a lovely thought though, isn't it?
It is.
I can't do it in mine and you can't do it with yours.
Mine's too coloured all the time.
Is there anything else you can advise women about their hair, how to just generally look after their hair?
I think to look after your hair is to look after yourself. So there are, obviously, if it's medical, you've got medical conditions, making sure that you're getting the right guidance and support. Have trust in your hairdresser, use hairdressers because they are very knowledgeable in knowing what to advise you, products that you should be using. A lot of the times, some people would think that we're actually selling products to make money. In my case, I know from my salon, I would rather my clients use products that I know that are good for their hair, that therefore is going to benefit them when they come back and have treatments done at my salon, that they are going to see the benefits in that way. And I'll always promote something I believe in. A lot of the time, if you look after the hair, so like I say, you feed it, you nurture it, you look after it, the hair will be abundant and full of life, and you know, and you'll be able to do pretty much anything you want to it. It's when you don't look after it. Obviously, if you experience any health issues, you know, try and keep on top of that. Sometimes taking vitamins like B12, B7, vitamin D, they'll all support hair growth.
Intrigued. Now, the dreaded question, perms.
Yeah.
Do you agree with perms? Do you not do perms? Would you advise people to have perms?
I think as long as people's hair is in the right condition, there is nothing wrong with the perm.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being realistic and not using going too heavy with chemicals. So I'm not going to suggest someone has both colouring and perms, because then you're putting double weighted chemical processes on the hair, which is a lot of strain. Having the making sure that you're going to someone that knows what they're doing with perming, that's key, because obviously it is a chemical, it does change the structure of the hair. And also being aware that although it says perm and it's a permanent wave is what they call it, it's not permanent. It does grow out and it won't look like a bouncy blow dry. It's with a perm, be realistic in the fact that you will have to still work at it. It's not a cure. We're seeing a lot of young lads have perms at the moment, and we probably do about 4 young lads a week, if not more. That's quite a funny little craze going on. I think they all look like little llamas, but they're
that's what they like.
Yeah, that's what they like at the moment, and it's going through. I've been lucky. It's one of the things I used to teach, and it's something that all the stylists that we have in the salon are capable of doing. They're all fully trained in doing it. So I don't think there is any negatives to having a perm, as long as, like I say, the hair is in the right condition to withstand that chemical process.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lucy. It's been absolutely informative. I didn't know there was so much to hair. I thought hair was just on your head, but there you go. So we come to the end of the Four Women by Women show on Vectis Radio FM 104.6. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our expert, Lucy. If you'd like any more information about the topic discussed today, please email Maggie at vectisradio.fm with your name and what you'd like to know, and I can put you in touch with one of our experts. So thanks, Lucy. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.